Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. We are joined by Hans von Spakovsky. He is one of the great utility infielders at the Heritage Foundation. He works there as a senior legal fellow in the Edwin Meese III Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. But he brings to bear a wealth of experience in government, both in the executive branch and in the Federal Election Commission, on which he served for 2 years as a member. He has also been in the senior ranks of the Justice Department. He has been very prolific in his commentaries and analyses in various publications, periodical as well as book length, including one he co-authored with John Fund, Who's Counting? How Fraudsters and Bureaucrats Put Your Vote at Risk. Hans, let me welcome you. Thanks so much for joining us. Good to have you back.
Well, thanks for having me back.
You have been talking for some time about what's going on with respect to this so-called DACA program, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. Republicans seem to be now mustering out to try to ensure that Democrats get their way on this. What is going on, and what should be? What are the myths that are associated with this program?
Well, first of all, they shouldn't be talking about another amnesty, because that will simply attract even more illegal aliens. Remember, that's what happened after the 1986 amnesty deal that Ronald Reagan agreed to his great regret later. That caused even more aliens to come in thinking, well, if the government did it once, they'll do it again, and we better get there, so we'll be ready for it.
As long as there's not a secure border that allows them to come in at will, right?
Yeah, no, exactly right. And right now, Congress ought to be concentrating on exactly that, securing the border and enforcing immigration laws to reduce the number of illegals already in the country, not providing another amnesty deal. But look, the biggest myth about DACA is basically this. This is projected as something for people who were 2 or 3 years old when they came to the U.S. from places like Mexico, who don't speak the native languages of their home countries, and it'd be a hardship to send them back.
And they're all very gainfully employed and working hard and a real asset to our society. Yep.
Exactly right. But if you actually look at the demographics of the currently about 690,000 individuals, illegal aliens who were DACA beneficiaries, you find that that all falls apart. First of all, many of them were teenagers when they came here, because you qualified as long as you got here before your 16th birthday. Now, Frank, you and I both know a teenager, by the time he's 16, he's had 10 years of schooling in their home country. They're obviously fluent in their native language, inculcated in the culture of that language. So the idea that suddenly, you know, sending them back to be a problem is just not true. Also, there was no requirement of the DACA program for English fluency. And I found at least one estimate that probably as much as 25% of the DACA beneficiaries are functionally illiterate in English, and another up to 50% only have a basic English ability. Also, apparently only 49% of DACA beneficiaries have a high school education. And by the way, you know, if you served in the military, you could also qualify. How many folks do you think actually served in the military out of that 690,000? Only 900. So what you're talking about here is a population that is large portions are barely literate in English. They come from a low education, low skilled background, and providing them with amnesty is going to be a huge cost to the American taxpayer, because of all of the government benefits they're suddenly going to be eligible for.
So let me ask you, Hans, why is the Democratic Party pressing so hard to get this amnesty? I suppose that's fairly self-evident given their general attitude on open borders. But what I don't understand is, why are Republicans now, some 34 or 5 of them in the House most recently, signing onto a letter insisting that this has to be resolved before the end of the year, some in the Senate doing the same?
I think they're afraid of looking like they, you know, like they don't have a heart, because that's what the other side pushes. Why, you must be cold. You must have a cold heart, be without mercy, to want to send these poor kids back. But again, that's based on the mythical view of these DACA beneficiaries. Look, I don't doubt there are, you know, some small number of people who only came here when they were 2 or 3. But again, the actual demographics of it, that's not the way this population looks. And I think they're being pushed into it because politically they're just scared to stand up and say, no, we're not going to do amnesty.
It's a critical point, and I appreciate so much the clarity that you and your colleagues at the Heritage Foundation are bringing to it, and pray that Republicans will see the merit of, at least if they're going to consider doing something like this, doing it in a thoughtful and deliberative way, but most especially after the border has been secured so it doesn't become the magnet, as you say. Let me turn to another topic with you, Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. One of our colleagues, a good friend and longtime partner of yours, J. Christian Adams, has been working for some time trying to prevent what really seems like a racist election from taking place in the U.S. territory of Guam. The Department of Justice has finally turned up on the right side in this. Tell us what that backstory is and whether this is symptomatic of finally things beginning to change from the Eric Holder type of Justice Department that you've written so critically about.
Sure. Guam Guam is a U.S. territory, also one of our most important naval bases in the Pacific is located there. And they decided they wanted to have a plebiscite on the future of the territory. Did people there want it to remain a territory, to become a state, become independent, et cetera? So they set up a voter registration process for that vote, and they set up one of the most blatantly racist registration systems, like what used to happen, unfortunately, in the Jim Crow South. If you were not what they considered to be a native Chamorro, and the Chamorros were the natives who originally populated the island, you would not be allowed to register. And J. Christian Adams and the Center for Individual Rights were contacted by a retired Air Force officer. He'd been stationed on Guam, decided to retire there and live there as a resident, because when he tried to register, he was not allowed to register. Why? Because he's white. So they filed suit that is obviously both a violation of the Constitution and a violation of the Voting Rights Act to not allow someone to register because of their ancestry, that the Supreme Court has said that's just another way of preventing somebody from registering to vote because of their race. This lawsuit, if you can believe this, Frank, was filed back in 2011. And the Obama administration, under both Loretta Lynch and Eric Holder, the Justice Department, refused to get into the lawsuit and represent this Air Force officer. They refused to help him, even though the territorial government was straight out discriminating against him. They finally won it at the district court or trial level in Guam. The territory of Guam appealed the decision to the Ninth Circuit this year. And now, finally, after 8 years of ignoring the case, the U.S. Justice Department has come in on the side of Mr. Davis, the retired Air Force officer. Very clear that only happened because the Trump administration took over and said, well, we're going to do what's right in this case.
I'm delighted that Jeff Sessions' Justice Department is doing that. It's facing a lot of criticism on other fronts. And I guess I would just ask you, in particular, Hans von Spakovsky, how the Trump administration is doing on the issue of judges and sort of the Justice Department's performance more broadly.
Well, you know, they have probably nominated some of the best individuals to ever be nominated for the federal courts. And so far, he's gotten a fair number of them confirmed, even though the Democrats are forcing what are called cloture votes on every single one. That has never happened in the entire history of the United States. In other words, the Democrats are doing everything they can to delay these people getting in. But the choices they're making are very good. They're all conservative constitutionalists, people who believe in applying the Constitution and the law as written, not as some liberal judge would imagine they think it ought to be. So that they're very good. At the Justice Department, the problem there is the swamp, as we call it. There are still so many people there who were hired during the Obama administration. You know, there are holdovers. There are political people who were put into career slots. You know, that's not supposed to happen, but it did. And so they have, frankly, all this internal opposition that's making it hard for them to get things done.
Yeah, it is indeed. We have to leave it at that. Hans, I want to get you back on soon to talk about election fraud. It seems as though there is election fraud after all, at least when it impinges upon Democrats' election prospects. But that's for another day. Thank you so much for visiting with us at this point on these very important issues, Hans, and for the great work you do at the Heritage Foundation and also on the President's Commission on Election Reform. We'll talk with you again soon, my friend. In the meantime, stay well. Come back to us soon. Russ Dallin is next. We'll get the latest on Venezuela and more right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.